When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Thursday at 4 o'clock to talk about the Eagles in the NFL and only the Eagles in the NFL, nothing else. Not any other sports or any other teams. That is Mike Lombardi of the VSiN Morning Show, Daily Coach, the GM Shuffle. Mike, how are we feeling?
We're good. No, we won't bring up the elephant in the room. Why would we?
Nah, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
No, there's nothing to say. They say it all.
No, go ahead. Go. This is the opportunity. I'm doing it even at the beginning of the call, not even just like shoehorning it at the end of the call.
I thought the one paragraph in Shams' report was the most telling, and I think it's been my indictment since Josh Harris has owned the team, is there's been no real accountability. There's been no demanding. There's been nothing but, you know, the players' load management. We're not going to do this. We're going to tank for losing. There's been no work ethic. There's been nothing that's been instilled in that organization. It's really been my biggest complaint since, you know, they took over and they started this whole process notion, and it comes without competitive nature within the framework of the organization. And I thought that paragraph about Nick Nurse, the players saying they wanted to be coached harder, Nick Nurse is saying he wants them to practice harder. I think that is exactly what's wrong with the franchise. That's what will stay wrong with the franchise, and it will continue long after, as long as Harris has this belief that this is how he needs to run his team.
So the thing I would disagree there is I don't think there are a lot of teams who have done what the Sixers did and become successful. Like, I think, here's what I agree with you on. I think that they have let Joel Embiid specifically and Ben Simmons until the very end do whatever they wanted to do because they're superstars, which happens a lot. But if the superstar doesn't have the right makeup, this is what happens. And I agree with you that those particular players, they have not held them accountable enough. However, what I would say, though, is in the beginning of this, the first few years of this where you didn't like it at all, those teams did play hard. Like, those teams under Brett Brown did. So I don't necessarily agree
They were happy to lose. And there's a losing.
Well, the players weren't happy to lose. Hold on one second. The players and the coach weren't happy to lose.
Well, I thought Brett did a really good job.
Right, okay.
Brett tried to develop players. I was fully on board with Brett. I think Brett did as good a job as he could do under the circumstances. I don't think Henke did him very much favor in terms of his ability. Remember, it takes talent to evaluate talent. And you can't tell me he was picking a great players with all the assets he was coming. So, but structurally, organizationally, and you're right, they've entitled both all their players. And it's impossible to get it back. Once you allow it to happen, you can't reel it back in. And, you know, this report that came out that Embiid's late, this is not news. I mean, this has been going on for some time. This just didn't happen this week.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. I think in the NBA is a little more complicated than you're making it out to be. You brought up Pat Riley.
No, championship teams aren't complicated. Teams understand how to practice. They understand how to play. You and I had an argument earlier, not an argument, a discussion.
Yes.
And my whole thing, and you said that I'm a hater. I'm not. I know what it takes to be a champion. And they have nothing. of the qualities to be a champion. I'm not a hater. I'm a realist. I see it. So this doesn't come to me as something that I didn't expect. I've fully expected it. You sign Paul George, who's 34 years old, who's coming off a career injury profile. You give an extension to a guy with a bad knee, and you now next summer will be the time when they trade him away. So to me, this has just been an ongoing what I've seen happen. But at the root of the cause, and this is really what I think this is their inability to build a championship-level organization that's built on hard work, that's built on commitment to excellence, that's built on being your best player, being your best leader.
Okay, but my counter to that would be that the teams who are doing that from the beginning, and you brought up Miami in that debate. Miami,
yeah, and you know they went to the finals 2 years ago. You just dismissed that.
No, but also
Embiid hasn't gone to the finals ever. But you just dismissed Miami going to the finals 2 years ago.
But they're an eight seed every year. Miami does not have the talent to win a championship. Miami has trouble holding on to talented players. They couldn't hold on to LeBron. They're not going to hold on to Jimmy Butler. You look at their roster. So the problem is that when you in the NBA, because I think you're making it about the Sixers, but I think it's a little bit bigger than that. In the NBA, it is difficult to build the talent that you need doing it the way that you're saying you should do it. That is the challenge. The challenge is that the culture in the NBA is, if I don't like it here, I'm going to leave. And because it is so talent dependent, because one player can literally change, because you need one of the six best players, seven best players in the league, because you need that, and because without that, you're screwed. Like your point about Paul George is salient, is right. Your point about Joel Embiid keeping him is right. What you don't offer is, well, here's what I would have done. Because there wasn't a move to do to put you in position to do that. So I think it is less in that respect about the Sixers and more about the sort of the game that you have to play, the grab bag that you have to play in the NBA to make it happen.
Yeah, well, I completely disagree. I think when you have a great player that works hard, LeBron, you can say whatever you want about LeBron. LeBron's going to show up. You can say whatever you want about Tatum. They show up. They work. They're in condition. You know, and Jaylen Brown, that team up there, they work. They understand. They have camaraderie. I think we all saw Brad Stevens say he wants players who are self-aware. He has that. I think, to me, you're just putting it under the umbrella of the NBA. When we're seeing Boston win title, Warriors have gotten it back. Poor Buddy Hield, he couldn't play here in Philadelphia because it's impossible to play with the guy. Now he's going out to Golden State, and all of a sudden he's back to being a good player again. Wonder why that happened.
Well, but it's not impossible. J.J. Redick had the best years of his career here. Seth Curry had the best years of his career here. Maxey is undoubtedly better here. So you can pick out those examples, and then the LeBron that you're talking about left Miami because of the way that they were, which is the challenge. Now, Miami can say, okay, LeBron, you don't want to play our game, go ahead, but they've basically been in purgatory ever since.
If you call purgatory going to the finals,
they're 500 every year, Mike. They had a run to the finals.
They had two runs to the finals.
Further than the 76ers have ever gotten. They've gotten further than this, and you dismiss them as they're a rank and file. They've gotten further than the Sixers, and you're promoting them as they're doing everything fine.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you that it is more complicated than you're making it.
They were the eighth seed, one of the fewest teams. They go and beat Milwaukee in the first round.
They beat Milwaukee in the first round without their best player.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, yes, it does, Mike. It matters if Giannis Antetokounmpo wasn't on the Bucks. Of course, it matters.
If they're not at the game, it doesn't matter. Look, the Sixers have had opportunities.
Okay.
I mean, they've had opportunities. They just can't. They have no mental toughness.
I agree with that, but I don't agree.
Figure that out. You're never going to win a title.
It's very easy to say this team's not going to win. That's all. You could do it across the league.
I said it before it started.
I know,
but you were a hater.
You were a hater because they started. You are.
I hate what they stand for.
Again.
What they stand
but the
for.
Guy that they started with was gone after 2 years, and they replaced him with a guy that I bet you endorsed in Brian Colangelo.
I did not endorse. I don't like him either, but I didn't like that other guy. I mean, that other guy you're talking about a guy that doesn't recognize talent. I mean, you're talking about, oh, we're going to pick for the future. Okay, well, you should have picked Giannis. I mean, look at his draft, Spike. You can't defend Hanke at all.
I can.
He wasn't a good draft.
He wasn't perfect. Yes, you're right. But he also left them with so much stuff that the disaster of Brian Colangelo, the disaster of the in-between, all of those disasters left them with enough stuff to still work with. So what? He wasn't a great drafter, absolutely. But not every GM is great at everything.
But when you have all those assets like Presti has, you got to hit with them.
Well, yes, but he never had the opportunity to. He got fired after 2 years. He got fired after 2 years, Mike.
He had Okafor, he left that. It was a nice package. Michael Carter-Williams was a nice package. He left. Nolan's Noel, you traded a guy who's still playing up at Boston for Nolan's Noel. You think that was a good pack? I mean, come on. He left his trail. You know, I mean, come on. It was. I think the best thing he did was hire Brett Brown. He really did, because Brett Brown coached and tried to develop the talent in an impossible situation.
He left them with what would be a number three pick, which they traded another top five pick to get number one, which ended up Markelle Fultz. Disaster. Post Hinkie. He left them with another pick that would be number one, which ended up being a disaster. Ben Simmons. Like, after he left, he left them with two number one picks in 3 years that they blew.
He picked Ben Simmons.
No, he didn't. Brian Colangelo picked Ben Simmons. Colangelo picked Ben Simmons. We both have our expertise. I promise you, Brian Colangelo picked Ben Simmons. All right. Can we talk about the Eagles now?
Well, yeah, let's do it.
I just want to get to it, you know. You know I love you, right?
Well, I'm great with it. I'm sitting here watching it. You can defend it all you want.
I'm not defending it. I'm just being...
Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a disaster. Do you think Nurse survives?
No.
Do you think Maury survives?
Yes.
How could he survive when he put this together?
Well, because when you look at what he inherited a deficit of draft picks and $110 million a year invested in Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Al Horford, who played the same position as their best player. So it's not, he did not inherit.
But the guy that did all that is still on the staff there.
What's that?
Elton's still there.
Well, that is a more complicated situation, but I can tell you that right now, Elton is not making final decisions with the basketball team. And I think Elton has his strengths, and Elton was probably put in a position to fail. But again,
the whole organization's a failure.
Okay.
From the top to the bottom.
All right.
It's built. That's my whole point. The whole organization is built on analytics and rest and not competitive stamina. That's what it's built on.
Well, if you have a problem with analytics, I do not.
I don't have a problem with analytics. I really don't.
Well, you bring them up a lot, Mike.
In his basement saying we shouldn't play back-to-backs. I have a problem with a guy saying let's take the day off of practice. I have a problem with the guy saying we shouldn't work hard.
See,
I
mean, say you don't have a problem with analytics, and then you talk about Eagles, a guy in their basement. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not being straight. You're not being straight.
Why did the Eagles last year? They had to change their whole peak performance development. They had to, because they got out of shape.
Okay, and in their investment in analytics, they've won a Super Bowl and been to another, and now they're 8-2.
Right. But their investment in analytics applies to what they do. It doesn't run it. They ran it last year,
right?
And they got out of shape.
Okay,
it was horrible.
All right, but now they corrected it with the same analytics people there.
No, they brought in different people. They brought Peter DeLuca back. They brought the old trainer. They brought the old guy back.
And then they're not using analytics at all now, I assume.
I didn't say that. I didn't say, and I'm not against it.
You are.
I'm not against it. No, I am. I'm against somebody who's not running the team or watching the team on a weekly basis telling you we should take the day off. That's what I'm against. I'm against people that we have to, to be good at anything, you got to practice. To be good at anything, you got to work hard. I think the Eagles are working hard. I think they're really good. I think Jalen Carter's remarkable. He's playing almost every single play. He's in shape. He looks like a dominant player that they drafted. The job of every organization is to make the player better than you have before you get him. It's not to just say rest.
Mm. So it's matchup Sunday night, right? We're looking at this Rams-Eagles matchup, Mike. How do you think this plays out? I can't even get in depth with this because I don't know if Mike wants to talk football. I don't know what the hell going on.
Football. Look, here's the thing.
Yeah, talk to me about Sunday night.
here's the thing. The Rams' offensive line has really improved, right? Mm-hmm. Last week they went into New England. They blocked a good front of New England, and the two receivers made plays for them. That's the key to their team, right? They ran the football. With Sean McVay, he's got to run the ball. He can't be a 45-pass guy.
Okay.
He needs balance. He wants to run play action. He's got a lot of motion. He brings people into the formation. It's a tough challenge for Philly. They're going to have to prove they can cover on the outside.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of things to mess around with the defense and break tendencies. So I think that's going to be a real good area. The Rams have got to hold up in the run game. I mean, that's going to be the key. Can they hold up? And can they cover? I mean, last week they struggled to cover New England. New England moved the ball up and down the field. Now they ran out of gas. They made too many mistakes, which is most what happens to young teams. I think it's a really good game. But look, the Rams are 5-5. This is probably the best they're going to be all year in terms of they've played 10 games, and they're finally really 100% healthy in the areas they need to be, which is the offensive and the defensive line. So it'll be a huge challenge, and I think to me the key is going to be, can Philly continue to make those big plays down the field in their passing game, and can they keep giving Barkley the ball? I think that's going to be the key. They're going to give up some points. They're not going to play as well defensively against a good Ram offense because Stafford is really good.
Yeah.
Mike Lombardi with us. Mike, I actually want to ask about a health thing. At what point, I guess from an organizational perspective, we have talked a lot about Saquon Barkley, number of touches. Okay, 400. He's going to have 400 touches, it looks like, this year. And knowing that that is a bad number for running backs, especially the running back that has ended up being your most important player on offense, at what point does an organization decide, well, here we are, we're in this situation where we don't give them the ball enough, we're not going to win games, but if we do, we really risk losing him being effective for next year. Like, what is the decision-making in that, if you're running the team in that specific scenario, you know, with this year and next year for Saquon?
Well, I think if you're going into next year, you know you need two backs in the league. You need what Detroit has, Montgomery and Gibbs, right? You need two. Well, unfortunately, they just have one this year. But he's so much a part of what they need to be able to do and control the game. I mean, last week, again, they outran. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row against Dallas. Actually, it's really 3 weeks in a row against Jacksonville, Dallas, and Washington. They've gained more yards on the ground than they did in the air. I mean, that's just a fact. And so they've got to have to go with their bread and butter of what leads them there. And I think ultimately that's going to be the key. And, you know, look, if you can try to get him in more space plays in terms of outside, his ability to play in the passing game is critical. But I think next year they're going to have to get another back to go with him. Look, Derrick Henry's the only guy that I've been a part of that carries it 300 times and then the next year doesn't look like he's missed a beat. Usually there's a complete decline. If you look at Emmitt Smith's career after he's had so many carries and they were only playing 14 games at that time and he went downhill after too many years of taking a pounding, it happens to back. The life expectancies of back are short. That's why people don't want to invest in it. But the reality of it is you're going to have to ride this guy because he is their offense. I mean, he is the key to what they do. If they have to get into a drop-back pass game and they can't run the football effectively, then it becomes a real issue because now all of a sudden people start blitzing Hurts. It won't be the same. But this is the number one team in rushing attempts. They're the number one team in touchdowns rushing. They're the number one team in yards gained on the ground. And most importantly, they're the third best team in the National Football League in yards per attempt, which is the most critical number of all those numbers I just read out.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike.
You would never believe that a Jeffrey Lurie-owned team. Think about this now.
Yes.
Jeffrey Lurie, and I agree with him, you have to throw the ball to get the lead. You have to run the ball to keep the lead, right? Jeffrey Lurie's team is 32nd in passing attempts this year. 32nd in passing attempts. They're the last team in terms of how many times they throw the ball per game. And they're the first team in rushing attempts. But that is the formula for them to win. And that's why they've improved defensively, because they're really good. They've improved tremendously. They're best team in yards allowed on defense, right? They're sixth in points allowed on defense. They're very good on defense because their offense ability. The worst thing you want to be is the Cincinnati Bengals, which is you can't run the ball, and then you can't stop the run. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bengals are like the 76ers. They look good on paper. They don't play good as a team.
And there we brought it right back.
Had a party
well
shot.
Done. Yep. Well done.
It's out there. You can't help but see it. You can see teams that do nothing about their mental toughness. It becomes a 7-on-7 game. The Bengals, that's who they are.
Mm. All right, Mike. We got to go. We will talk to you next Thursday at 4.
Oh,
appreciate you.
Well, next Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we will not be talking.
We will not be talking.
The lottery. Are we going to tank for the kid from Duke? Let's do that.
Well, we're starting that.
Well, the problem is... Capture the flag.
Well, Mike, there's no problem. We're going to go get them, all right?
Issue being, Mike, that because what they've done with the lottery odds, even if you have the worst record in the league, you only have a 14% chance
of
the number one
pick. We don't care about that.
I'd rather have a 14% chance than watch this pathetic product. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it.
What a ray of sunshine.
You can't even kid with him.
Nope.
Well, he reminds me of someone.
Yes.
Hey, man. That guy drafted me.
We have great respect for Mike.
Howard drafted you?
Yeah.
Yes, he drafted me.
Well, I can tell you the analytics didn't love you. I can tell you why you weren't. The one reason you weren't drafted is
I think Ike would have been an analytical darling.
Oh, yeah.
Ike playing in today's league?
Yes.
Well, in today's league,
He would turn his nose up at WIP.
You know what? I look at maybe we see the two-way player, Van Summeren, and a linebacker from
there
this
you
guy.
Go. Well, no, I'm not doing fullback. No.
All right.
I'll let Richie, he can have that in Van Summeren.
So here's what we have. Jack, you tell me what we're doing. So we have every day this week, we have a pair of tickets to go see Linkin Park at the Wells Fargo Center August 16th, but you have to sing for them.
Yep.
We play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. The song ends, you have to sing the next line. But we also have John Heyman coming up as well.
So John Heyman's first.
Okay.
If he can sing it. We'll go Heyman first, and then immediately after Heyman, we'll play the Linkin Park.
Okay, so what I should do is, people shouldn't call now. When I come back at 4:30, tell them to call then?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason we have Heyman on is because it seems like we were all throwing dirt on the Soto dream. It has reborn a little bit today.
Yes.
A little bit of hope. A glimmer of a tub of mayonnaise right here in the studio of Ike Reese spooning it into his mouth. Oh, yeah.
Why don't you say that any more sensual?
Yeah. Ike Reese
spooning into my mouth. Yeah, come on, man.
Spooning mayonnaise into his mouth. It sounds like a John Johnson bit.
That sounds disgusting already.
Yeah, yes, no, it really does. Yeah. We got sit-ins with us.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so Heyman next and Linkin Park tickets. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, we're going to talk to John Heyman from the New York Post about Juan Soto in a moment, but right afterwards, we have your opportunity to win Linkin Park tickets, which is August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets are on sale now. You have to sing the next line of the song we play. So we will play a clip of a song, and then you will have to sing the line afterwards. So if you'd like to try to win, 215-592-9494. We'll talk to you right after we talk to John Heyman, New York Post, little MLB Network mixed in there as well. John, appreciate you coming on with us.
How are you guys doing? Happy to be on with you.
We're good, man.
What's up, John?
I think we're a little bit better. I think we're a little bit better after you mentioned the Phillies today as a Juan Soto team. You know, like we went into the offseason with a lot of dreams, and then the dreams started getting crushed, and then there's at least a glimmer there. I guess just right off the top, how serious of a bidder do you think that they'll be in this, I guess?
Well, I will give you a glimmer. I'm writing for the New York Post tomorrow about the 5.5 finalists, basically. I don't know if I call it that. And they're the half. I mean, at this point, as of a few hours ago, the five teams definitely in there have met with Juan Soto. In almost all cases, ownership has met. There was one or two that the owner couldn't make it. But there were five teams that have met, five serious teams. And my understanding is that the Phillies are intending to meet, but as of, I don't know, late this morning, there had still not been a meeting set up. That doesn't mean they can't get them. I don't think there'll be a deal until probably close to the winter meetings, which begin, I believe, December 9th. So we're talking, we still got 3 weeks to go, but I'm not really sure. I mean, the Phillies have been suggested to be potentially looking at trades for Castellanos and Bohm. Do they need to clear a Frost a spot for him in the lineup or a salary? I'm not sure. But my understanding 2 days ago was that they were intending to play for Soto. But right now, they're the half team and the 5.5 left.
So just as a follow-up of that, there is no chance that the Phillies call Scott Boras and say, we would like to meet, and they say, no, not interested. This would be
right.
an interest-level question.
Phillies.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sure they'd meet with the Phillies. I mean, there's probably some teams that, want Soto's time is not worth, but the Phillies certainly, they will meet with the Phillies. I mean, it's a big market team, bent on winning. John Middleton, a very serious owner, certainly has played in free agency. They've actually done better than almost all teams in free agency. They've signed a few Boras clients, Harper most notably, but certainly Castellanos when he was a Boras client, and Arrieta. So they've signed some, and
Taiwan Walker.
I don't think they would insult. Yes, Taiwan Walker when he was a Boras client.
Right.
So I'm sure that they would meet with the Phillies if indeed there is going to be a meeting, and that's why I have it at half. We shall see. But it's a big market team, interested in winning, certainly interested in the player. But right now, I wouldn't characterize their chances as great because we don't even know that they. We'll have a meeting, much less have had one.
From Juan Soto's side of things, I understand the major market, an organization that's committed to winning. Is there any sense of what else could be? Because the money is going to be the money, right? Whoever offers him the most. I'm just wondering, what is it that he's sort of looking for and what would tilt a team in his favor or a city in his favor? Is it? Family, the living situation. Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of what he's sort of looking for from his side.
Yeah, I mean, like most free agents, I think the deal is the major factor in this. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is in an unusual situation where he's making, $50 to $60 million off the field. Doesn't appear to be interested in money, right? I mean, his best friend stole $17 million right from under his nose, right? So this is a guy not really that interested in money. That said, almost all of these major free agents, particularly ones who have a chance to set a new market, in this case, he certainly will set a new market, at least in terms of present-day value. I think the deal is really number one. Now, he did meet with everybody. It was good to probably for him to meet the owners. If there was some particular owner he didn't really hit it off with, maybe he won't want to go there. I don't know, but... I think it's the deal, number one, winning, number two, and the potential of relationship, number three. But, I mean, is he going to leave $100 million on the table or $50 million? I doubt it.
I mean,
Ohtani was a very unusual situation. Judge, also a bit unusual, homegrown Yankee. Yankees played up the brand, the history, tradition, all that in their meeting, as they, of course, would and should. But ultimately, I think the deal is really going to be what decides where he goes. And that's why people think that the Mets have an excellent chance ultimately to win this. The Yankees have signed big free agents. They won a bidding war for Cole with the Dodgers and the Angels. They won bidding wars for Teixeira and for Sabathia. They did match on Judge. So I'm not ruling them out. They have the highest revenue. There's a lot going for them. But, Steve Cohen's got reportedly – $21 billion, so that's tough to beat.
Yeah, when you look at the price tag, what's the price tag you're looking at? We're hearing all types of numbers. What price tag, ballpark figure are we looking at?
Well, originally we were talking about $500 million real value, and then
chump change.
Million.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they'll probably be there. Certainly could be deferrals. I'm sure there'll be opt-outs in this, but I think there could be deferrals. So the actual value, I mean, I would say I estimated $630 million when I did my prediction. So I guess I will stick with that as the actual value. Now, is it going to be over 700 to beat Ohtani and use some deferrals to do that? Or is someone actually going to bid over 700 million? I'm not going to rule it out at this point.
So, John, last one for me. I guess just about the New York dynamic, having spent a few years up there knowing the Yankees-Mets dynamic. How much do you think it plays into the Yankees' pursuit of Soto that the fact that he may go to the Mets? Like, do you think that motivates them in a different way that he could wind up in Queens, not just wind up, with the Dodgers or the Phillies or something?
Well, they'll say no, but I mean, I think it's human nature. I'm glad that you mentioned that. I would agree that you certainly wouldn't want him moving 8.5 miles southeast to Queens. I wouldn't think. Of course, I'm not a billionaire or certainly a multi-billionaire. You know, they may think differently than I do, certainly do. But I would think it's natural that they would prefer him not to be in Queens. Now, they're not the only threat. I mean, Boston, L.A., Toronto, all serious threats, and Philly would be too if indeed they do get that meeting and do want that meeting. So, I mean, this is wide open. Hal Steinbrenner told the press at the owners' meeting yesterday that he didn't have a clue where he was going to go. He thought it went well, and my understanding, it did go very well, and he started to establish a rapport with Soto, which was missing during the season. Soto, I'm sure, noticed, and everybody else knows, that the owner, Hal Steinbrenner, had quite a great rapport with Aaron Judge and with Gerrit Cole, longtime Yankees in their 30s, and really left Soto alone. Now, he may have done that by design, didn't want to disrupt him, and I think they had an explanation for that, but it was good that they got together, and I think he gave himself a little bit of a boost with that. But as I said, I'll be surprised if he doesn't go to the high bidder. I mean, you know, no, very few free agents will admit that that's their priority, but that's the reality of the situation. Nobody's as honest as Zach Greinke, who told me after he was already in the Dodger clubhouse, having signed there for, I think, was $147 million. If someone had given him one penny more, he would have gone to that team. He's the only one who's ever done that for me. But I believe that he was in the vast majority of free agents. And I get it. I don't blame them. I mean, when Hal Steinbrenner goes to sell the team, is he going to take the highest offer, or is he going to take the guy he likes? You know, he's going to sell the highest offer. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think that's the way this is going to go.
All right, John. Well, we appreciate you coming on with us, and thankful as well. You know, the last time that we had this pursuit, and you were actually the one to report it, the Bryce Harper signing, it happened in March, I think, or the last day of February. So happy this looks like it might be wrapped up next month, and we're not asking you six times a week for the next 6 months. So
absolutely, yes. I think that the momentum is there, and the other players need to get signed, and Boris has several of those. And these teams need to figure out whether they're spending $600 or $700 million or not. They can't. They're handcuffed until this is finalized. So I will be shocked if this goes past the winter meetings. I really will.
I should have been a great baseball player. Should have done it. Yeah. All right, John. We appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it.
There he is, John Heyman. Well, it sounds like the Phillies are more of a conceptual fit and less of a, because he doesn't have any interest. The only information he had is that they were intending to meet with him.
Yeah.
But the
sounds
fact,
like a courtesy meeting.
Yeah. The fact that they haven't done it yet, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because either he is not anxious to meet with them or they aren't necessarily jumping in here with both feet trying to put on a full court press.
Well,
forgetting.
I wonder if they can't tell if they're being
played.
Yeah.
I mean, and some teams don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah. And it was funny. He was like,
"Because you rile up our fan base."
Well, right. Yeah. Yes.
It was. I thought
WIP radio.
I thought it was funny too. Where it's like, maybe they're worrying if they can clear a spot in the lineup. I was like, for Juan Soto.
Yeah. I think we can
for Juan Soto. We'll find a spot. All right. Here we go. So. We've been doing this at 4:30 all week. Tomorrow will be your final chance, but we're doing it today. Lincoln Park comes back to Philadelphia, Wells Fargo Center, August 16th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But we're giving away a pair, and you have to sing for them. So we will play a clip, and then when the clip ends, you have to sing the next line. But you have to sing it with your gut. Not say the line.
Like we do at 5:30
every single day. All right. Tim and Lindenwald, you're on WI. Tim, are you ready to try for the Lincoln Park tickets?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be. Let's do this.
All right. We'll play the clip. The clip will end, and then you have to sing the next line. That's all we got. Very, very popular song. Should be able to do it. All right. Here is the clip.
And the shadow of the day.
That's good enough. You got it.
All right.
He doesn't need the. Yeah,
that was three words.
Well,
it's the next line.
Yeah, it's the next line.
I mean, he couldn't hit a high note to save his life. But
I'm not trying to hate on you, Tim. I'm just like, that was quick.
What do you have? The shadow of the day.
No, that's the most he had. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Are we saying yes?
I mean, I already said yes.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Illegal. Yeah. You're the former program director.
Well,
I don't think
it was good enough. I thought it was good enough.
All right.
I don't know the words at all. So I just know it was quick.
Yeah. It's a hard song to sing, too.
Okay.
So he embarrassed himself a little bit by even trying to hit the note.
Okay.
Tim, we're going to give you the tickets.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's speechless.
Man, a few words.
Yeah.
This all week.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you got the tickets. You got a pair of tickets to see Linkin Park August 16th, Wells Fargo Center. We'll put you on hold. Jack will get your info.
I did initially hear him say, I got him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was happy initially.
He was happy.
It's in the shadow of the day, we'll embrace the world in gray, but it's he got it.
He got it.
He got it.
You say he got it. He got it.
Yeah, he's counting.
Yeah, he counted. You know, I saw our friend Tommy from down the shore sing that song last night.
Oh.
And I can tell you Tommy sang it a little bit better than that guy did.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That was a little buzzish.
Yes. We'll embrace the world in gray. Somehow sing without any tone whatsoever.
Well, that kind of buzzes the whole thing.
Yes.
There's no tone there.
No. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping at marks-jewelers.com. Can Joel Embiid win you back or are you out? It changes again.
Mm.
Up to win me back is 42%. I'm out 58%. A lot closer to 50-50 than I actually thought. Oh, and Jack's got to tell you something. We'll get back to the
phone. Listen, because when I watch the Eagles at home, I get my Miller Lite from my local Acme. So this season, when you go to your Acme for your game day Miller Lite, register for a chance to win WIP's Ultimate Home Getting Giveaway, presented by, of course, Miller Lite. That includes a Weber grill, a 50-inch LG TV, a $750 Acme gift card, a Miller Lite cooler, and the grand prize, Birds legend Brent Celek and myself watching the Eagles game at your house. For info and participating Acme Market locations, go to 94WIP.com. It's Miller time, Eagles fans. Celebrate responsibly.
All right. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, I was going to tell y'all, Jack, y'all be singing the Creed at 5:30. Yeah, you coming in a little strong, right?
Who Jack is?
Yeah, he got to cut it back a little bit too powerful. You know what I mean? Like, we want to hear some more chorus. You know, a little bit. You know, we want to hear the melody a little bit better, like y'all together.
Yeah,
it's like he's trying to be David Ruffin. You know, he's trying to be and it's supposed to be a group thing. You know, so cut it back a little bit. Well, hey, yo, Spike, man.
You know, Corey, real quick. That's a little mic technique problem with Jack. He's too close to the mic. It makes it too loud. And he's
take
little,
the mic out your mouth.
Yeah, and he's a little
He's talking about he got 11 solos. He should be a pro.
True. And the other thing is, I think he's a little self-conscious about his name being third in the show. So he wants his voice to be the loudest during 5:30 Creed.
But he gotta cut it back. So you tell me you're the soloist. I'm looking. I'm like, man, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. You got to come.
Nah, but I sing it well, though. That's the issue. Like, the more and more we practice it, it's like reps on the show. It's starting to sound right. That's the good part.
He be practicing at home, singing it to Walker. So that's what he be doing. Hey, Spike, man, Money Mike had you in a blender, man. He might drive you, though. He said, I know what it takes. Championship.
He did mic drop us, yeah.
Well, you know what?
He did.
We could.
When he said that, Spike was like, yeah, you got it. I know he was thinking, like, oh, you got a good point, but it's okay, Spike.
Well, you know what? First of all, I don't think he had me a blender. But second of all, I could have gone, if somebody goes low, I can go lower. But I have a great respect for Mike, so I didn't do it.
I appreciate that.
Yes. You know, he comes on with us every week, so I let him have that. I'm just going to say, I let him have that one.
And the bottom line show, when people go low, we go to the basement.
Yes, true. That's where the low-lying fruit is.
Yep. So somebody take a shot at you. You know, remember when somebody took a shot at me? I ain't gonna say no names. I went to Bronny James, boy. You know, I went to the basement. I'm gonna say, yo, take a shot at somebody, you gotta go low. But hey, man, look, let's get on these Eagles real quick. Everybody got me a little. Hey, I'm never nervous about Eagles games, right? I'm gonna tell you why this game got me a little nervous.
Ooh.
Listen, this is the reason why. Because, you know, our secondary, we and, you know, Philadelphia fans, we hyped them up. Now they starting to get media attention. Everybody talking about Quinyanamo Bay, great whites, exciting whites. And then we about to have exciting whites on the other side. You know what I'm
A lot of exciting whites Sunday night.
So it's like, hey, man, it's going to be the battle of the exciting whites. All I want to say is Q and Slay. Y'all better not get outshined by them exciting white boys. Because all I know is, y'all, hey, man, y'all, I just need y'all to hold up. This is a big spotlight game. Secondary, y'all getting some notoriety. I need y'all to show up. That's the only thing that got me nervous. I'm not worried about the offense. I am nervous that Smitty might not play. I'm kind of, you know, I'm hearing some things. I ain't no insider of the year or something, but I'm thinking Smitty
he's
might
back on the injury report. Well, he didn't practice for the second day. Yeah.
Hamstring. I don't like that he's had a hamstring for 3 straight weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and
kind of got me nervous. If we got to go ahead and sit it, I think we could be here because, you know, we got the bully. All we need is the bully. See, we don't get a lot of games without the bully. We get the games with Smitty without the bully, but we got the bully. So we got him and MJ and Superman and all them, you know, so that's enough to beat the Rams as long as the defense show up. But, you know, what'd you say?
Nah, we get it.
Nah, you just agreeing with all the super friends, yes.
Because, Spike, you can't just talk about Embiid. See, you got to throw in all the stuff.
That was Jack.
Take it.
Nah, but I'm talking about throughout the show. Because earlier you said something, and you was like, with a quarterback. And I'm like, come on.
Jalen called friendly fire for no reason.
He don't even be saying nothing to you. It's like, he ain't even popping. It's like you be having him in the back of your mind. Like, I gotta get this straight out real quick.
Well, you got Superman back there, and you also got the fewest pass attempts in the league. So I wonder why those things. You don't want Superman throwing the ball. You know?
At the end of the day, all I see is W.
Wins.
I don't care how you get there.
All right.
I don't care how you get there. As long as you get to the destination.
Absolutely.
That's
all we got.
Everybody to Pound Town, baby. All
right.
That's our motto.
That's all we got.
Baby.
Pound Town.
That's right.
All right,
I'll holler at y'all.
All right. See ya.
Man, least amount of passing attempts in the league.
That was startling.
Yep.
I'm actually, I give you credit for not adding on to that.
I know you wanted to. Really?
As soon as I heard that. As soon as I heard it, I was like, what?
Yeah. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike, Ike, Jack.
What's up, man?
What's up, Tasty Cake?
Well, I was just going to listen to this great show today. But then you got this clown show, Mike Lombardi.
Mike Lombardi.
Oh, no.
You know, blowhard that wants to gloat about what's going on with this. First of all, Spike, you know, our no championship talent. At Riley would have picked Ben Simmons. Red Auerbach would have picked Simmons. James Naismith would have picked Simmons. He was clearly the number one pick that year.
I would have picked Ingram, but that's me.
Yeah. But I agree mostly that most people would have picked Simmons.
Yeah. So, you know, that you're getting that a lot on the station lately. People are gloating about what's going on.
You know,
that's bothering me.
Well, so you know? That is – Howard and Lombardi have both mentioned, like, that I've said the hater thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think – they crossed the line from, I think this is going to happen, to I want it to happen. And that is the problem for me, is that I asked them both. I asked them both on separate occasions.
Yeah.
If you had the choice to be wrong about this, and he ends up healthy and wins a championship, would you prefer that to being right? And neither one of them would say yes. And I understand sometimes we argue so much about these things
you get dug in.
Right.
But to me, we're in Philly. We're cheering for all of these teams, and like I can't think of a time that is the part that's what makes it hard to debate it with them. When I say that they were a hater, that's what I mean. What I mean is they don't want it to succeed, and that paints their opinion of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, Spike, I had my reservations of this season.
Yep.
You did. But I wasn't happy about it. And, you know, he wants to listen. Look, Mike, we all watch the games and, you know, he brings up the Buddy Hield thing. You connect the dots, like, you had Buddy Hield that couldn't hit a three. You had Tobias Harris couldn't make a layup. And now Andre Drummond can't get a rebound. So maybe the coach don't know how to utilize people.
Well, he might stink. I mean, he might straight up stink.
Don't know how to, I mean,
are we turning the corner on Nick Nurse?
Dude, Nick Nurse might stink. They look like
he doesn't stink.
They look like a bad basketball.
I don't think he's doing a good job this year. I think he's in a tough spot. And Andre Drummond, my opinion.
By the way, I wanted Budenhauser.
Congratulations.
Andre Drummond, I think, just straight up stinks.
I'm quick to remind everybody who I wanted somebody differently. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, Andre Drummond's never contributed to a winning team in his life.
Oh, but that's a winning ball player.
No, Andre Drummond.
Yeah, he plays hard.
He doesn't, actually.
Yeah, he plays hard, man.
That guy sucks.
Jason's rebounds, man.
Everywhere else he's ever...
Exactly.
He could walk through the court blindfolded and find 11 rebounds.
But on teams that don't win games.
Well, what's this?
Well, yeah.
What I'm saying is he does not have a resume of being a contributor on a good team.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Look, you can think whatever you want to think about him. And Tasty Cake, like your opinion on Nick Nurse may be right. I think there's a chance he doesn't survive the year. However, I do still think he's a good coach. I just don't think he's doing a good job this year. So that's my thought on that. All right, Tasty Cake.
All right. Love you guys.
All right, brother.
All right, Tasty Cake.
See ya. Jack. Everyone loves the top five at five.
Uh-huh.
Everyone.
Well, like.
Most people.
Well,
like the top five at five.
Yeah, that's good.
That's an increase in like discrediting the top five.
Well, because
five
you go after Ike almost every time in the top five.
That's because it usually gets a good reaction.
Okay.
Listen, do we not play the hits?
We do.
All right. What, so what do you have coming up?
No, I'm just kidding.
Give the people a taste. Yeah.
Funniest things I saw today.
Oh, God.
No.
These are the ones you don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yes, because you think to yourself, what did Jack see me doing
today? Who knows what he saw
actually,
today?
Did I walk into the bathroom the wrong way?
This top five, for the first time maybe ever, well, not ever, but it makes me look bad.
Ooh. I'll be tuning in.
I was expecting you to go on things you hated about last night.
Well, I didn't get that much material because I was on the air and then I left pretty quickly after.
Yeah.
I was looking for material, don't you worry. I didn't get much.
It looked like Ike got all the material with seeing Herb.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. If you would have saw Herb.
Yeah. Herb was active.
Yeah, yeah. He was in rare form yesterday.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm looking at a threesome.
And I kept telling people, like, that's Herb from the Northeast over there. So people kept going over to see him.
Great.
Yeah, he was a celebrity.
Was that you trying to escape conversation?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Keep him distracted. Go over there. Take pictures with him. Taking everybody to Pound Town, baby.
Top 5 at 5 is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.